Blog Talk Radio.
The True Israelites, with your host, the Seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
Israelites, with your host, the Seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And now, Voices of the True Israelites with your host, the Seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
Israelites with your host, the Seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
Live Yahuwah's Radio. Worldwide international radio broadcast is now on the air. Yahuwah's Radio. Yahuwah's Ministry. I be your host by name, your seer, Israel, of Seed Royal. We're doing a series called Unlocking the Biblical Mystery, Deep Dark Sands of the Bible, tape number 34. And we got a memo saying the elder will be a few minutes late. So we just going to get something going on until our elder get ready to tell y'all about the broadcast coming up shortly. And we just going to see who going to be on stage and get something going on. And remember, no class tomorrow on the network at 6 o'clock. No class. Be back on airwaves Wednesday at 6 o'clock. Let's see who going to be on stage for the night episode right away. We see one of them young lions is ready to go. So we know he got all the air pumped in his chest ready to go. So we're going to find Brother Titus, and we're going to bring him in for the nice episode part 34 by saying, Brother Titus, tribe of Yahdah, Judah, Israel. Yahuwah be with you there, see you.
Yahuwah bless you there, Seer Israel of Seed Royal. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, boy, that young lion. Well, young lion, you sound like you're on the right track, and a big better for some dust says, Yahuwah, I'll put you more on the right track. So we'll get something going on there, Yahuwah. Young lion. You sound like you're ready to do your part in some dust says, Yahuwah, by being a leader, anointed leader, in the six anointed camps called Voices of the True Israelites. Got to lead by example there, young lion. So let's take a little look at Luke chapter 12, verse 12. What's going on with that verse there, young lion? Come on.
The book of Luke chapter 12, verse 12 reads, For the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say.
Excellent. In that very same hour, the righteous spirit will teach you what you ought to say there, young lion. And we want to recap on some things that were said last night. We left out a few things and we definitely going somewhere in the lesson before it's broadcast over with properly. We are pinning the tail on exactly, again, what do December 25th really means with the Bible open. But until that time comes, let's see, can we recap a few things and let's see which way we can kind of take this thing, because we clear about something there, young line, in Nehemiah 2, verse 10. Can you help those see out and take number 34 with Nehemiah 2, verse 10? What does it say?
The book of Nehemiah, the seer, chapter 2, verse 10 reads, we're stepping out the Lord night and to buy the servant. The Ammonites heard of it, and it grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel, the Israelites.
Yeah, and hold on now, young man. I mean, the world is grieved because the six anointed camps is now fit to unlock the mysteries of the Bible and seek the welfare of the nation of Israel, the Israelites. So they had a statement that was written there, young line, in the book called, let's go to Matthew chapter 5, and we look at verse number 11. Let's see if we walk this down a little bit and see what we can come up with. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5, verse 11. And we'll read down until we get our point there, young line. Matthew 5, pick up at verse 11. You're on the clock. Come on.
The book of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 11 reads, blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Verse 12, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the seers which were before you.
Excellent.
Verse 13.
Excellent. Good right there. So we clear. So when you get revived and you know you hear a lot of smack talking coming at you, he said rejoice behind that, because one thing about it, he said they jumped me and they jumped the previous seers, and they also going to jump you. So if you're not getting jumped and everything going right for you, then automatic you know that you ain't lined up with this book. Let's go to St. John chapter 15 there, young line. And we'll look at verse 16. We'll reach. We'll get our point. We're going to St. John chapter 15, and we'll pick up at verse number 16. What does it say that we can read there, young line?
The book of John, beloved John, chapter 15, verse 16, reads, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit shall remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of your Father in my name, he may give it to you. Verse 17.
Go ahead.
Verse 17, these things I command you, that you love one another. Verse 18, if the world hates you, you know it hated me before it hated you. Verse 19, if you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hated you. Verse 20.
Fail on down to 23.
Remember?
Keep going. Fail on verse 23. Keep rolling that young line.
Verse 20. Remember the word that I said unto you. The servant is not greater than his Yahuwah. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. Verse 21. But all these things what they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. Verse 22, if I had not come and spoken unto them, they have not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. Verse 23, He that hated me hate my father also.
Mm-hmm. Good, right there. So look what we're going to find out. He said, now, if we wouldn't have came on this network to tell you about where you stand and what the truth thing and truth was going truth about everything, then you might have a chance. But he said, you got no cloak to hang and hide behind, because he's sending this ministry directly to those on basically the international side, over 700,000 strong. Let you know that you've been taught wrong, and it's time to correct it before St. John 7 verse 6 kick in. So we got to correct. We got to right or wrong after you hear right. After you hear right, you got to right or wrong. What are you talking about in St. John 7 verse 6 there, young lion?
The book of St. John, chapter 7, verse 6. Then Yahweh the Son said unto them, my time is not yet come, but your time is always ready.
He said, your time is always ready. So that's why you got to understand something. Your time is always ready. So he makes it plain in the 94th chapter of verse Psalms, there, young lion. See, we rolling as he give it to us. So in Psalms 94, he said, your time is always ready. So he going to make it plain in Psalms 95, young man. Let's see what he says in Psalms 95, and we'll pick it up at verse number 7 down to 11. What it say we can read out of the mouth of David, given this information by the minister spirit, and he wrote it down in 95 of Psalms, verse 7 down to 11. What do you say there, young lion? Come on.
The book of Psalms, chapter 95, verse 7 to 11. For he is our Yahweh, and we are the people of this pasture, and the sheep of this hand. Today, if you will hear his voice. Verse 8. Harden not your mind, as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness. Verse 9. When your father tempted me, provoked me, and saw my work. Verse 10. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation, and said, it is a people that do err in their minds, and they have not known my ways. Verse 11. Unto whom I swear in my wrath, that they should not enter into my rest.
Mm-hmm. So he said, now listen, he said, today, when you hear the voices of the true Israelites, the six anointed camps, don't harden your mind. Do your research and see, can whatever you've been doing all your life, can it hold up when you open the Bible up? Can what you're doing today, will it hold up if the Bible is open? Let's back up to Acts chapter 17, verse 5 there, young man. Acts 17, verse 5.
We're going to the book of Acts, chapter 17, verse 5.
Verse 5 and 6. 5 and 6.
Acts chapter 17, verse 5 and 6. But Yahda Judah, which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain new fellows of the bachelor's sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. Verse 6. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren of the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also.
So who the one brought them to the big dignitaries in verse 5? So who brought the ones to the big dignitaries according to 17 verse 5 there, young man? Take a look at 17 verse 5. Who done this to go and jump Jason and pull him out of his house and take him to the big dignitary? Who did that that we can read in the book of Isaiah 17, verse 5? Who did it, that young lion? Come on.
The book of Acts, chapter 17, verse 5. But Yahdah Judah, which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain new fellows of the bastard sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people.
So who took him to the big dignitaries of power was your own brothers. And that's why you have to watch your own brothers from the pages of the book. What delivered up the one Brian chose to take the word was the own brethren. The own brethren, that's why you got to watch everything about Titus from the pages of the book. Don't look at the skin color. Watch everything from the pages of the book. So who delivered up them was Maccabees 1:11. Let's see what do we read in 1 Maccabees 1:11. So it might be a real close person to you, but you got to watch them from the pages of the book. If they don't line with the Bible, then you know their subject can be influenced. It can be part of the deliverance of you up. So that's why you got to watch them all there, young lion. Not according to appearance, but from the pages of the book. So now, in Maccabees 1:11, who would do such a thing to deliver up their own brothers to the big dignitaries, according to Maccabees 1:11?
1 Maccabees, chapter 1, verse 11. In those days went there, out of Yahdah, Judah, Israel, wicked man, who persuaded me, saying, let us go and make a covenant with the nation of Esau, his five sons, Amalek, that are round about us. But since we departed from them, we had much sorrow.
You see that? So you always gonna have wicked Israelites. And they always gonna perpetrate wherever you at, and they will deliver you up if you give them the opportunity. And the signs of them delivering you up, because they can't keep up with this book, and they do not want to make adjustment according to this book, according to as is written. So them the signs you watch for, young lion. You watch how things do not sit well with them, and they always all over the place. That's a sign that they look for to influence somebody else to see can they take you down. Keep that in your mind, young lion. We go on to the book of Sirach 25, verse 1. Because the greatest thing that must be talked about, it is Sirach 25, verse 1. Let's talk about it there, young lion. What can we read out of Sirach 25, verse 1?
The book of Sirach, the seer, chapter 25, verse 1 reads, and three things I was beautified and stood up, beautiful both before Yahweh and man. The unity of brethren, the love of neighbor, a man and a wife that agreed together.
You see, so that's beautiful things that when you got a man and his wife agreeing together. And that's a beautiful thing. And that's what they always try to put the woman against the man against the woman through manipulation. But when you catch a strong party when the man and the woman understand the order of things and they apply that order of things, that's when you know the gig is up. That means Yahweh's hand is running in the right direction, and that's the key. So you watch that. So all these things you got to watch there, young lion. What it says in Psalms 127 verse 1. Brother Titus, tribe of Yahdah, Judah. Psalm 127 verse 1. What it say?
Psalm 127 verse 1 reads, except Yahweh build the temple, nation of Pharaoh, they labor in vain that build it. Except Yahweh keep the city, the watchman wicked, but in vain.
So I don't care what you're doing or how good it look. I don't care how much you can find your $10. Unless Yahweh set it up the proper way, build up your family, your nation, it's going to come to nothing. You got to have your Yahweh there, but he got to be up front. And Yahweh is not going to deal with you until you in order. You know the rules and regulations according to his written words. And that's when you catch a family that's moving up on the Yahweh. You can tell when success is there because they in order according to the book. Not the game changer. Let's run back to Acts chapter 24. Verse 5. Because see, what we're going to find out that who's going to deliver you up or attempt to deliver you up will be your own kin folks that look just like you. That's going to be the one that will be pulled to the side and put a bug in their ear to show how to deliver you up. So we just found out that Judah, you got wicked Judah. And the only way you're going to recognize wicked Judah Israel is from the pages of the book. Don't watch their appearance. Watch their action from the pages of the book. Acts 24, verse 5, young lion, Brother Micaiah, what it say?
The book of Acts, chapter 24, verse 5 reads, we have found this man, a pestilent fellow and a mover of sedition among all Yahdah Judah throughout the world, and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes.
See what he say? Is that we found this brother was a ringleader. They trying to get folks back on the right track. And we are the wicked Judah Israel. We find out that if they continue what they're doing, they're going to mess us up. They call him a coat. A word set means a coat. So they call Paul a coat. And how you going to call Paul a coat with Galatians 1:16 is written in our Bible? So they call Paul a coat. That's they call him. So, but why would you call him that with Galatians 1:16 is all written in your Bible? What does it say in Galatians 1:16 there, young lion?
The book of Galatians, chapter 1, verse 16 reads, to reveal his son in me, that I might teach him among the heathen, among the nations.
Mm-hmm. Read verse 15, make it sound good. Read verse 15 and 16, because for the national audience sake, over 700,000 strong on the international side, we might as well put verse 15 in there and 16. Take your time there, young lion. You own something. Come on.
The book of Galatians, chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. But when it pleased Yahweh, who separated me from my mother's womb, and called me by his mercy. Verse 16. To reveal his son in me, that I might teach him among the heathen, nation of the northern tribe. Yes.
So we're clear that if you call him Paul a coat, that he ain't right. This man was raised from the womb by the Father, Son, to the Minister Spirit, and the Minister Spirit brought down the message that Paul, you is the man of the hour to do some things for the scattered Israelites all over the world. So Paul was raised from the womb, and you see what the leaders call him? A cult. So when they call you names and revile you, he told you plainly what to do over there in Matthew chapter 5, verse 11. We ain't going to read it no more. But when you understand something, they're going to call you many things, but you got to hold fast on the word of Yahuwah, because that's the game changer. Regardless, if your mama, your daddy don't agree, I got to put a rabbit out of the hat. They're going to see them bring Mother E in for the nice episode. Now, I got to put a rabbit out the hat. Now, this is what you're supposed to tell them, young lion. In Isaiah 41:21, see, when those that disagree, you have to know how to get to your scripture. So in Isaiah 41:21, can't you help those see out there, young lion, what that say?
The book of Isaiah is here, chapter 41, verse 21. Produce your cause, said Yahuwah. Bring forth your strong reason, said the King of Israel.
You see that? So produce your cause. Bring forth your, if the voices of a true Israelite is not on the right track, then produce your cause and bring forth your strong reason. We got the Bible. Where you want to turn to? If we not the biblical Israelites of the Bible, descendants, then who are we and who are you if we not so? So produce your cause. You say we not the children of the book? Then produce your strong reason according to the Bible and open the Bible up and show me who are we. And show me who are you with the Bible open. So produce your cause. Bring forth your strong reasons if we not the biblical Israelite descendants of the Bible. See? That's the game changer, young man. That's why we got to rehearse the righteous act among ourselves and get strong, because if we not the biblical Israelites of the Bible, then who are we? That's what I don't know. So you tell them, well, you read them Isaiah 41:21, because we ain't going to be arguing about nothing. Produce your cause that we can read. That's what we got to do, young line. Let's see if we bring Mother E in for the night episode, take number 34. I thought 34 yesterday. We'll be take number 35. So let me see, can we... Mother E, Israel, tribe of Yahdah Judah. Hey, Mother E, Israel, tribe of Yahdah Judah. Yahuwah be to their seed, royal.
And Yahuwah bless you, Israel, of seed, royal. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah, there, Mother E. And we know Mother Z is at the desk getting prepared to give her commentary later. So, Mother, we gotta say something to them, Mother. We got to say, if we not the biblical Israelites of the Bible descendants, then who are we? take your book and open it up, and you read them the 41:21 of Isaiah. Tell them, produce your strong reason if we not who we are. If we say we are the biblical Israelites, and you said we not, then produce your strong reason. Because, Mother, they got something going on in the Bible, Mother. And I want you to have to see it out. Now, in Genesis 25, Mother, hey, Mother E, Israel, in Genesis 25, verse 21 down to verse 25, can you have to see out in Genesis 25, verse 21 down to verse 25. Now, take your time there, Mother. We got a lot of time, and the national audience, they all got their pens and pads ready to write, over 700,000 strong. So take your time and bring that AJ like you did yesterday on Genesis 25, verse 21 down to verse 25. Well, it said that Mother E. Israel, E. Roya, come on.
The book of Genesis, chapter 25, verse 21 to 25. Verse 21. And Isaac entreated the Yahweh for his wife, because she was barren. And the Yahweh was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. Verse 22. And the children struggled together within her. And she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Yahweh. Verse 23. And the Yahweh said unto her,
oh my God, man.
Two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. Verse 24. And when her day to be delivered was fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. Verse 25. And the first come out red all over like a hairy garment. And they called his name Esau.
Mm-hmm. What did verse 26 say, Mo?
Verse 26. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Israel, when Isaac was 30 years old when she bare them.
Mm-hmm. So then we'll find out, mother, on the way to find out something. These babies were struggling with each other in the womb. Now, in the womb, no baby have their eyes open, mother. So it got nothing to do with black or white. This is a soul, spiritual thing, mother. This got nothing to do with black and white, because when a baby is in the womb, the baby's eyes is closed. Yeah. They don't see no color. They just hearing the spiritual thing. So even when Esau was described as hairy, red and hairy, and there was no explaining about the other boy, Jacob, because Jacob blend in with all the rest of the peoples in the world. So this got nothing to do with black or white, because no baby can see nothing in the womb.
Right.
This thing is spiritual. This thing is spiritual. So when Jacob holding on to Esau's heel, he had his eyes closed, so he didn't see the color of his brother. So this thing was spiritual. So this struggling between the two wounds, the one wound and one concerned the other one, this thing was taken care of by Yahweh in the womb. So this is the hand of Yahweh. See, Mo, we got to be able to soundly explain this thing have nothing to do with black and white. This is a spiritual thing.
Mm-hmm.
She went to Yahweh, what's going on in my womb? And he said, two nations, two manner of people in thy womb.
Mm-hmm.
Letting you never see eye to eye, although they got the same mother and father. This is spiritual. It's got to be brought out. Because the Lord talk about some black and white. No. This is spiritual. So, mother, in the 27th chapter, can you help those see it out of Genesis 27, verse number 40 and 41? Help those see out what happened after that. after they came out of the womb, time went on. Let's see what is the mindset that we can read. We're going to Genesis 27, and we'll pick up verse 40 and 41. See, these things, the six anointed cats got to understand soundly, because they try to paint you as being the black Hebrew Israelite. But we got to let them know that this got nothing to do with color at all. This is a spiritual battle that was in the womb, and when they was in the womb, could now one of them see each other. So this thing is spiritual, the battle between the two, Paul and Jacob. It got nothing to do with color. This is chapter 27.
Look at Genesis chapter 27, verses 40 to 41. Verse 40.
Yes, ma'am.
And by the word shall thou live, and shall serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass, and thus shall have the dominion, that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. Verse 41. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his mind, the day of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob.
You see that, mother? So it's got nothing to do with color, mother. See, they use propaganda about color. It got nothing to do with color. It got something to do with the what? The blessing. The blessing that Jacob received and Esau didn't. See, mother, we got to teach now, Mother E. Mother E, we got to teach now. It's time to teach. A minister got to step up now and do some flat-out teaching. It got nothing to do with black or white. It got something to do with what Esau said out of his own mouth. I hate my brother because of the blessing my our father gave him. Is it clear about that, Mother E? Mother E, is it clear about that? So don't let them talk about a black and white issue. It got nothing to do with black and white. It got something to do with one received a blessing and one did not.
Right.
That's what it's all about, the blessing. And so happened, Yahweh blessed Jacob with the blessing. And Esau did not receive a blessing. So he said, any opportunity he get, I'm going to deliver him up. So now we understand why he did this in 1 Maccabees 3:48. Because we know Esau is red and he's hairy. So all his sons will be red and hairy. So now we clear about when Esau done this, we clear and now we know why he done this. 1 Maccabees 3:48. What did it say that, mother? Mother E. Israel. What it says in Maccabees 3:48. And young lion, have me Romans. Have me Romans. Chapter 9, verse 7 through 13, and we're going to precept that back to Ezekiel 35, 1 through 15. What it says in Maccabees 3, 48 there, mother. Maccabees, chapter 3, verse 4. Now we can understand why they did this in 1 Maccabees 3:48. Come on.
Okay. 1 Maccabees, chapter 3, verse 48. And laid open the book of the law. Break in. The nation had sought to paint the likeness of their image.
Now, mother, why did Esau and his five sons paint the likeness of their image in the Bible of the Israelites? So the Bible that we have today, we see the painting of the likings of Esau. So, mother, you are seeing Bibles that got pictures in it. What do the pictures look like according to the Bible that grandmama had, the Bible that mama had, the Bible that daddy had? What was the colors of the peoples when once they was painted? What did they look like, mother? When you open that book up, what did they look like?
Well, they were painted. They looked black.
But the ones was painted, mother. No, to me carefully, mother. When we opened the Bible up, most of the Bibles we got read now. Now we clear, we know what they look like by other lessons. But what do we see in our Bibles today on TV, all on billboards? What do we see when we look out our own eyes today? What do we see in any Bible? If we see a picture, what do it look like? And now you can see where they were prophesied of them doing it already in First Maccabees. So when you read Genesis 25:25, how did Esau look again, mother? Come back to Genesis 25:25.
Okay.
So Esau got busy. Yeah, 25:25. He got busy in 1 Maccabees 3:48. He paints the likeness of himself. And what did himself look like according to Genesis 25:25?
Genesis 25:25. And the first come out red all over, like a hairy gum. And they called his name Esau.
Ain't that something? You see that book talking, mother? That book is talking. So when we look at the painted images, what do they look like today? When we look into the school system, the church system, the billboards, the movies, and the Bible, what do it look like according to 3:48? So the likeness was painted. What likeness was painted? Of who? Was it painted of Esau or was it painted of Jacob? Which one was it painted of?
Esau.
So now you know the children of Israel is not pale red at no time.
Right.
Because if already pale red, then they've been painted another color. But every picture we see of the one that they call our Lord Jesus Christ is pale red. So that is the color of who? According to Genesis 25:25. Say it again, that mother.
It's the color Esau.
And his five sons.
Right.
Exactly. So now we have broke the code on 1 Maccabees 3:48. Now we know why they painted the man of color to look pale, and now they fed that to our grandmama, our grandfather, our mother, our father, and our sister. That image to them, they can't get it out their mind. Well, what do the picture look like? But they was never told the picture was whitewashed. They painted over the color to white folks, which they call red, pale red, and hairy. Mm-hmm. And why they say hairy? Because hair grows all over them real bad. If the Gillette razor blade go on strike, you will hear an uproar all over the world, because if they don't keep that hair down, that hair will overtake them all over. The hair over. If it wasn't no Gillette razor blade, Mother E, they go on strike. That means that hail going to overtake them. They're not going to be able to see how to drive the car or see how to do wickedness, because that hail will just come out everywhere. It come out all on their back. Everywhere. They got to go get their back straight. Hair grow all on their back. See? So we have the cold mother. So it's time for us to tell our people the truth of this thing. It ain't got nothing to do with black and white. It's got something to do the hand of Yahweh, because the baby was fighting in the womb. And in the womb, you don't see nobody. Your eyes not open in the womb. This means this thing is a soul thing, mother. This is a spiritual battle. This is a hand of a lion getting ready to bring it up. This is a hand of who? Romans chapter 9, verse 7 through 13. So what they're doing now, mother, is they're trying to paint us as the black Hebrew Israelite. But we got to let them know, no, it ain't about no black Hebrew Israelites. This happened in the womb, and none of them saw nobody. This struggle started in the womb with their eyes was closed. This is a spiritual battle. When the mother went and asked Yahweh, Shem, them, what is told? Two nations are in your womb. Two manner of peoples that will never see eye to eye. And we as a people will not see that. We as a people will not see what the Bible says. You and them will never see eye to eye. Not as two different nations. Now, our hand is in it. You might have a couple of individuals that say, you all right, and that, okay, fine, but not as a nation. So, with that understanding, go to Romans, because Paul had to talk to the scattered Israelites pertaining to this. Now, Paul met him in Rome there, Brother Titus. He met him in Rome. And he said something to them that was scattered all around Rome in the 9th chapter, verse 7, down to verse 13. What was said that we can read there, young lion, Brother Matthias? You on the clock, come on.
The book of Romans, chapter 9, verse 7 to 13. Romans chapter 9, verse 7, read. Neither because they were the seed of Abraham. Are they all children? But in Isaac shall your seed be called. Verse 8. That is they which are the children of the flesh. These are not the children of Yahweh, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. Verse 9. For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. Verse 10, and not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father, Isaac. Verse 11, the children being not yet born, neither have they done any good or evil, that the purpose of Yahweh, according to election, might stand, not of work, but of him that calleth. Verse 12, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. Verse 13, as it is written, Israel have I loved, but Esau have I hated.
You see that? So Mother E and Mother Z, it got nothing to do with black and white. This is a calling from Yahweh from the womb. See, Yahweh created a people to do his damage to you of your own disobedience. And he made sure they look totally different from you. But you have no excuse to not understand. He made them look totally different, I believe, from the same parents. He made one that red looking and with straight hair called horse hair or goat hair. And he made another one, the same one, many shades of brown color with woolly hair. Total different, they gave him two different mindsets. So whenever you think you can straighten out somebody with a different mindset than you, then you go against Scripture. See, that's why we're in trouble today. And that's why we looked at an article over there in the basketball team called the New York Knickerbockers. They ran an article saying the majority of the basketball players in New York got strange wives. They got Esau as wives. Mm-hmm. Let you know that's contrary to the Bible. Time you get a couple dollars, that's the first thing you go do is get Esau to be your better half. Or, first of all, turn around. The same thing about the female. They go get Esau man and think they are mates.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly,
mm-hmm.
contrary to the Bible. See, mothers, we got to be able to show our sons, our grandfather, may look good in the eyes of the beholder, but it's contrary to the Bible. That's all he said. Time for somebody. Now, how long this go on? Young Lion going to tell us about it in Ezekiel 35, 1 through 15. Now, Young Lion, Brother Titus, he's going to run the whole story down because Paul pulled this verse in 9, verse 7 to 13. Paul pulled this verse in the 35th chapter of Ezekiel 1 through 15. Listen good as Brother Titus, and Brother Titus, just put a little more bass in your voice and bring it down a little bit. Just put a little more bass in your voice. You're on track now. But we want to bring this out real sure. smooth. So just put your Barry White voice on and bring it out with some audio. Come on.
The book of Ezekiel is here, chapter 35, verse 1 to 15. Ezekiel chapter 35, verse 1. Read. Moreover, the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, against Mount Seir, Esau, and prophesied against it. Verse 3, and said to it, thus said Yahweh, behold, O governor, Seir, Esau and his five sons, I am against you. I will stretch out my hand against you. I will make you most desolate. Verse 4, I will let your cities wait. And you should be desolate, and you should know that I am Yahweh. Verse 5 reads, because you had a perpetual hatred and have shed the blood of the children of Israel, the Israelites, by the force of the sword in the time of their calamity, in the time that their sin had an end. Verse 6, therefore as I live, said Yahweh, I will prepare you unto blood, and blood to pursue you. Says you have not hated blood, even blood to pursue you. Verse 7. This will I make Esau and his five sons desolate, and cut off from him that passed it out, and him that returned. Verse 8. And I will fill his mouth with the slain man, in your hill, in your valley, in your river, till they fall, that are slain with the sword. Verse 9, and I will make you perpetual, everlasting desolation, and your city shall not return, and you shall know that I am Yahweh. Verse 10, because you have said, these two nations and these two countries shall be mine, and we will possess it, whereas Yahweh was there. Verse 11, therefore as I live, said Yahweh, I will even do according to my anger and according to your envy. And you have used out of your hatred against them and I will make myself known among them what I have judged. Verse 12. And you shall know that I am Yahweh, that I have heard all your blasphemy, which you have spoken against the government of Israel. Say, they are made desolate. They are given up to consume. Verse 13. Thus with your mouth, you have boasted against me, and have multiplied your words against me. I have heard them. Verse 14. Thus said Yahweh, when the whole earth rejoices, I will make you desolate. Verse 15. As you did rejoice in the heritage of the nation of Israel, because it was desolate, so will I do unto you. You should be desolate, O government of Esau and his five sons, and all Esau and his five sons, and even all of it, and they should know that I am Yahweh.
So it ain't got nothing to do with black and white. Yahweh is he's for one people, and he against another. This is the hand of Yahweh, so you might well close your eyes. It's a spiritual thing. It started in the womb. He made one vessel for honor and one vessel for dishonor. He made Esau look total different from the known world. Everybody else had some kind of shade of brown. You can find brown and shades of brown in the Arab man, the Chinese, the Japanese man, and every man. Esau is the only man got the pale red as a people. That's the hand of Yahweh. It got nothing to do with black and white. This is a soul thing from Yahweh. But you can be clear about who's going to jug at you until his destruction. His job is to jug at you and keep you off balance and keep you off things that's contrary to the Bible until he is destroyed. So there it is. So now, mother, Israel. We want to get a precept on the door. We on the right track. To the book of Psalms chapter 50. And we're going to look at Psalm chapter 50, and we're going to pick up at verse number 19 down to verse number 22. Look what it says, mother, in Psalm chapter 50, verse 19 to 22. Take your time there, mother. E, Israel, C, Roy, come on.
The book of Psalms chapter 50. Verses 19 to 22. Okay. Book of Psalms, chapter 50, verse 19. Thou givest thy mouth to evil, and thy tongue frames deceit. Verse 20. Thus sittest and speak against thy brother, the slander thy own mother's son. Verse 21. These things have thou done, and I kept silent, though thought that I was altogether such as one as thyself. But I will reprove thee and set them in order before thine eyes. Verse 22. Mm. Now consider this, ye, you that forget Yahweh, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver.
Hey, Mo, that's big talk with that, Mo. See, he said now, you slander your, he says, thou sitteth and speaketh against thy brother Israel. thou slander thy own mother's son, Israel. Mm-hmm. And I'm just watching you. You just studied talking that talk. Matter of fact, you are said, you are said, and you are tricked the whole world saying you, Esau, the red man that paint the likeness of himself. You called yourself white. And you have tricked the world by saying you are descendants of Israel. You have deceived the whole world, and that's why you painted the ancient books to look like you, pale mm-hmm. and red. So now we clear why you did it. You are what you call the deceiver. And Voices Over 2 is like, is going to show what the Bible's saying concerning you. And that's why we read early, the world is grieved because it is a ministry that can go in this Bible and flat out see things in order. That's why we got to know what order is talking about. So we're going to precept that, Mother. But give me Ezekiel 35, verse 11, Mother. Give me Ezekiel 35, verse 11. And 35, verse 11. What does it say that we can read? Ezekiel 35, verse 11. Hey, Mother E, Israel C, Royal. What do Ezekiel 35, verse 11 say?
The book of Ezekiel, chapter 35. Verse 11, therefore, as I live, said the Yahweh, I will even do according to thine anger and according to thine envy, which thou hast used out of thy hatred against them, and I will make myself known among them when I have judged thee.
You see that? So that's plain, Mother. So now we don't find out soundly that this thing have nothing to do with black or white. This is mm-hmm. a spiritual thing that's in the womb. And remember one thing, this broadcast, it's rebroadcast back at about 9, what time? About 9:30-something, 15 minutes later. So those that missed the beginning of the broadcast, you always can catch the fullness of it by just staying on the line or whatever, or going back in your computer and put in YHWH Radio Live, and you can catch the beginning of this broadcast, because when you miss a minute of this broadcast, you miss a lot. We're going to lay a great foundation down for the hour and 15 minutes to show that it's have nothing to do with black and white. It's got mm-hmm. something to do with spirit, the hand of our mighty one. Good. So we understand that. Now we're clear about that. But what he doing now, Brother Titus, he doing something that we can read, and then we're going to get in and show you exactly some more understanding, and on the tape that we left off on last night, showing you soundly that we're going to continue looking at this thing black and white until you get the understanding. It got nothing to do with black and white. It got something to do with the election of your mighty one that will sit up from the womb. Got it? Good. So those that come in the room late, catch the 6 o'clock broadcast at 9:30. That's an hour or so that you missed. And for the inside over 700,000 strong, keep enjoying and take notes on what you're hearing. So remember, this is unlocking the biblical mysteries of the Bible. Tape number 35, 34 and 35. Now, so let's read something, Mother. Let's read something that we can be clear about, that is a prophecy was made in Deuteronomy 33, verse 28 and 29. It was a prophecy made. It was told to Moses, a prophecy about a people called the children of Israel, the Israelites. What was said in 33, verse 28 and 29? Hear me out there, Mother E.
Okay, the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28. Chapter 33.
Are we up one?
Verse 28 and 29. Help the old seer out there, Mother. In Deuteronomy 33, particular verse 28 and 29. What does that say?
The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 33, verses 28 and 29. Verse 28 reads, Israel, then, shall dwell in faith and long. The fountain of Jacob shall be upon a land of corn and wine. Also his heaven shall drop down dew. 29. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people, saved by the Yahweh, the shield of their help, and who is the sword of thy excellence, and thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places.
Wait a minute, Mother. That big talk, Mother. Wait a minute. Now you read a prophecy that one day up the road, that the one that have paint the likeness of themselves in every book. So now, the painting in every Bible, it looked like Genesis 25:25. So now, if everybody looked like Genesis 25:25, it was no need to paint nobody. But since you see that it was a painting made First Maccabees 48 and was painting the likeness of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So now we clear, when we look at any Bible, any movie, any poster, anybody playing any part, it looked like the white man and the white woman, but the Bible said they read. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So we clear that the people of the Bible did not look pale reddish. They was many shades of brown.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that's the work of evil men and women to do so. We're clear about that. Because you would never would have painted the likeness of yourself if that's the way. The reason you did that, because of deceit. Because of the what word again? Now, Mother, I'm going to ask you a question. Why was all this done? Now, you read it earlier. I want to see, do you remember, what is the reason of all this hatred between Esau and Jacob, the red man and the many shades of brown man? I'm going to see, do you remember it? And if you, Mother Z, if you remember it, fine. Young Lion, if you remember it, after the mother take a shot at it, what is this all about? Do you remember, and you read it, Mother, do you remember?
Okay. Why this hatred?
Yes,
is,
ma'am.
Between Esau and Jacob, because Yahweh made Esau, hold on, mother.
One word. You read the one word, and what is the one word? Why is this hatred going on today? One word, Mother.
Oh.
You read it.
I know.
The what?
Because of the birthright.
The blessing. That Jacob received from his Esau didn't get the blessing. It's all about the blessing.
I'm saying
chapter number one, read, bless it, Mother. Now come back to Genesis, let's read one more time to make sure we clear. Go back to Genesis 27. Look at verse 40 and 41. Because all this is about, it's about one receiving something and the other one did not. This is what it's all about, Mother. And here it is right here. Now, I want you to read it again. Come back to Genesis 27 and look at verse 40 and 41. All this trouble going on today is right here, and we got to have the number one answer. It ain't got nothing to do with black or white. What it got something to do with it? Read it again, Mother. Genesis 27, verse 40 and 41.
Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing.
Now read. Hold on, Mother. Look at 27 and look at verse 40 and 41 and read the this national ordinance over 700,000 strong. Take your time. You on the clock. Just take your time and deliver the knockout blow. Come on.
Genesis chapter 40, 27, verses 41 and 42. Verse 41.
No. 4-0. 4-0. 4-0.
Okay. Genesis chapter 27, verse 40 and 41. Verse 40. And by the sword shall thou live, and shall serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass, when thou shalt have dominion, that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. Verse 41. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his mind, the day of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob.
Okay. So, Mother, what is this battle between Esau and Jacob is today is because of what reason? What is the number one reason with one word?
Blessing.
The blessing.
Yahweh.
That's it, Mother. Number one reason. So they tried to use propaganda and use it as a black and white thing. No, it's not, Mother. It's about the blessing because they was fighting in the womb. And in the womb, can't nobody see nobody in the womb. That was spiritual battle in the womb while both of their eyes was closed. So they didn't see black or white until they came out of the womb. So when you hear people talk about a black and white thing, no, that's bad teaching. It got nothing to do with black and white. It's a spiritual thing from the Almighty. But you can be clear who's who. All right, good. All right, we got that out there. Now, come on, now, so we read that, you read, Mother, in Deuteronomy 33, but what got to happen again in verse 29 again, but what got to happen? Plainly got to happen. Read again in Deuteronomy 33, verse 28 and 29. Read, take your time there, Mother. You on something now, Mother Israel. Look what it says in Deuteronomy 33, 28 and 29 one more time.
Okay, the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 33, verses 28 and 29. Deuteronomy, chapter 33, verse 28 and verse 29. Verse 28. Israel, then shall dwell in safety alone. The fountain of Jacob shall be upon a land of corn and wine. Also his heavens shall drop down dew. 29. Happy art thou, O Israel, whom is like unto thee, O people, saved by the Yahweh, the seal of their health, and who is the sword of their excellence. And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places.
Mm-hmm. So he's letting you know this is a prophecy that one day you're going to wake up and recognize who is your spiritual enemy is. And it started when they taking your books and what they call it cataclysm. Cataclysm means they looked at what was really going on painting wise, and then they paint the likeness of themselves. So you can go on any computer and pull up all the images of the Israelites over there in Europe, and you will find out all the people was of color, many shades of brown. But they have done a marvelous job keeping the connection between Europe and America, but not seeing the ancient pictures. So they have done a marvelous job by keeping the shield where you really think that the people of the book, pale red, they call white today. Nobody looked like no light bulb. Nobody looked like no light bulb. When you watch the spark, look at the moderator with his white shirt on and look at the face. And you will see that it's total two different colors. The shirt's going to be white, but the face is going to be pale red. All you got to do, wait till the night, come on, and watch your favorite news broadcast. Look at the white dress, look at the white shirt, then look at the face. You say, oh, you're not white, you're red. You're more red, huh? You're more pale red. See that? And that is the sentence of Easter. And all you do, wait till 10 o'clock news come on and just be looking at it real carefully. Look at the white shirt and the... And remember, if Gillette razor blades go on strike, you will not see the face no more because the hair will grow all around them and cover them. That's one thing you never... It will never go on strike. It's Gillette razor blades. So that hair grows everywhere. And that's the sign of Esau. Red and hairy. And Jacob was a plain, smooth man. So if you want to know what Jacob looked like, look for a plain, smooth man that do not have to have his arms shaved or his back shaved or his neck shaved. He ain't got to go through none of that. Or his legs shaved, or his thighs shaved, or his feet shaved. They ain't got to go through that. But another people got to go through all that. And that is Esau and his nine sons. You got it? Good. All right. So now, young lion, what do it say? The prophecy says in the 58th chapter, verse 3 down to number 9. Let's see the prophecy. Now, we read that your enemies got to be proven to be liars. That means sooner or later you got to recognize the enemies that have told you all these things. And once they find out to be liars, and you know nobody like a liar around them, no way. So if you find out somebody done lied to you, you look at them totally different. You got to be shown who is the liar according to the book. Now, we read that Israel have to come face-to-face that somebody have lied to him. Okay. Now, we're going to read a little prophecy. We're going to Isaiah, going to Psalm 50, make it Psalm 58 there, young lion. And we'll look at verse 3 down to verse 10. Let's see what 3 down to verse 10 say. Now, all on the international side, take notes. We're going to try to get on the true meaning of December 25th. Hopefully we can get it in this lesson, but if we don't get the true meaning of December 25th, we'll get it back on Wednesday. But we'll try to get it, but we got to go as Spirit-led give us on something you got to know. You got to know somebody that's been lying to you. And remember the court system when Furman was found to be a liar in the O.J. Simpson trial, they said whatever he say is struck from the record. So if you found lying, it's over with. We can't believe you. So if you found a people lied to you, and you still following these people that lied to you, that's shame on you. Go on to Psalm 58, verse 3 out of verse 3. Come on there, young lion.
The book of Psalms, chapter 58, verse 3 to 10. Psalm 58, verse 3 reads, the wicked are astray from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. Verse 4, their poison is like the poison of a serpent. They are like the deaf adder that stopped her ear. Verse 5, which would not hearken to the voice of charmer, never so wisely. Verse 6, break their teeth, O Yahweh, in their mouth. Break out the great teeth of the young lion, O Yahweh. Verse 7, let them melt away as water which runs continually when he bent his bow to shoot his arrow. Let them be as a cut in peace. Verse 8, as a snare which melted, let every one of them pass away like the untimely birth of a woman, that they may not see the sun. Verse 9, before your pot can feel the thorn, he can take them away as with a whirlwind, both living and in his wrath. Verse 10, the righteous should rejoice when he sees the vengeance. He shall wash his feet in the blood of the wicked.
So he letting you know that the righteous got a day coming to take care of the wicked, according to what you're reading. Now, what is the biblical definition of a righteous? What that mean? And Deuteronomy 6:25. What that mean? So the righteous got a day coming, and the righteous going to take care of the wicked in time to come. Now, what that mean by you being righteous? Let's see what the Bible said about being righteous. Give me Deuteronomy 6:25. How do you be righteous?
The fifth book of the Torah instruction, book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verse 25. And it should be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments, Torah instruction, before Yahweh, our Yahweh, as he had commanded us.
So if the commandments is to do righteous, and righteous is doing the first five books called the Torah instruction. So the one that's going to be able to get him a little shot in on the wicked is the one that do righteous. So now you have to examine yourself. Are you righteous? See, that's the point. And now the definition of being righteous is you keeping the first five books. Now, David prophesies on that in 119, 142, 144. What does it say? So now we want to edify you, those that's on the network, especially on the international side, 700,000 strong. The righteous got a day coming that they're going to get a lick in on the wicked. But the righteous has got nothing to do with black or white. Either you righteous or you unrighteous.
Mm-hmm.
The one that's unrighteous is going to get a whooping. The one that's righteous is going to put the whooping on the unrighteous. And that got nothing to do with black or white. Keep that in your mind. And look what the messenger spirit told David in 119, 142, 144. Come on there, young lion.
The book of Psalms, chapter 119, verse 142 and 144. Psalms 119, verse 142. Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your law is the truth. Verse 144. The righteousness of your covenant is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live.
So, being righteous is you keeping the covenant that's in the Bible. Being unrighteous when you pay it no never mind. Once you know who you really are, then you got to examine yourself. Are you keeping the covenant of Christ? Or is you keeping the covenant of the precepts of men? Which one are you doing? You got to examine yourself. What are you doing? Because if you want to get to the right place, you got to be righteous. And we find out righteous is you keeping the law. That's the key. You keeping the law, then you're going to be part of the one to get a whooping, get a lick in on the unrighteous. But if you're not keeping the law, you're going to get the whooping that they're going to get by not keeping the law. Now, what is the law? Back up, Mother E, and read Genesis 2, verse 3. Let's see what the law is. Let's look at it this way. What is the law that we can read? What law he wants you to keep in Genesis 2, verse 3?
Okay. Book of Genesis, chapter 2, verse 3. And Yahweh blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which Yahweh created and made.
So, Mother, what day is the blessed day?
The seventh day, Saturday.
Look on your calendar. You'll see all the way far left. And you count all the way over, and you run into a day called Saturday. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. That is the blessed day, not the first day of the week. So once you understand the true blessing is in not in number one, it's in number seven. And you look, you could ask your to my telephone, what day is seventh, the seventh day? They'll tell you the seventh day of the week, Saturday. Well, why are we going to worship on the first day? Then you got to find out what happened. You got to find out what happened. And it started when we read in Maccabees 3:48. Somebody looked like somebody else. The descendants of Esau paint the likeness of themselves. And after they paint the likeness of themselves, they done some things that you need to know. And once you need to know, in 1885, that the Roman Catholic Church looked right at the 1611 Bible that had 80 books in it, and they snatched out 14 books. They snatched out 14. Now, when you read your Bible, all you see is 66 books in your Bible. And you just say, well, what happened to the rest of the books? Then your pastor tell you, well, that's the years that our Lord and Savior wasn't talking. No, that's not the truth. The truth is the Roman Catholic Church pulled out 14 books and gave you a book of 66. You go on your computer and put in the original King James 1611. How many books in it? It would come back and tell you, oh, it was 80 books. Well, why my book got 66 in there? Then you got to buy from your preacher. Why you got different pages? Books. See, now then you're going to start saying, I better listen to that Voices of a True Israelite a little bit more. What else have been lied to me about? And one thing I don't like is a liar. Great. Good. Now, let's go back and put our hands on the liar a little bit more. Let's come back to a young line. Let's come back to Psalms 64, verse 5 through 9. Let's find out something about the liar that we can read. Then we're going to get on. We're going to get back on and show you the true meaning of December of the 25th. We want to take care of it in this lesson, but if we don't, we'll take care of Wednesday at 6 o'clock. No class tomorrow, Tuesday. Go back to your line. Let's go back to 64, 5 through 9, what it say. We're going back to Psalms 64, 5 through 9.
The book of Psalms, chapter 64, verse 5 through 9. Psalms chapter 64, verse 5 reads, they encourage themselves in an evil mind. They commune of lest their privately. They say, who should see them? Verse 6, they search out sin. They encompass a digital search, both the inward thought of every one of them, and the mind is deep. Verse 7, but Yahweh should shoot at them with an arrow. Suddenly, they should be wounded. Verse 8, so they make their own tongue to fall upon themselves. All that see them shall flee away. Verse 9, and all men should fear and should declare the work of Yahweh, for they shall widely consider of his doom.
Mm-hmm. What you just got to read in verse number 8 again?
Verse 8, Psalm 64, verse 8. So they make their own tongue to fall upon themselves. All that see them shall flee away.
Mm-hmm.
He said, sooner or later, their own tongue, he's going to have them to say some things that they don't want to say. And that's why you're hearing things now that they don't want to be out. Like the young basketball player. He said he went into his computer. And all he put in was the name YHWH in there. And when he put that name in YHWH, it came back all the stuff that came on. See, they wasn't really worried about what he had seen. It's when you put that name in YHWH, see, that name is the name that activates everything. That name is the one that Moses asked for, Mother E. That name right there, Moses asked about that name. Let's see what Moses says in Exodus chapter 3. Ask something about that name. And we got a message came in on the answer machine from a lot of big dignitaries, and they were talking about, they clear about this name. And I hope I might play a little bit of the answer machine message that they left. But Moses was at the crossroads. And Moses asked a question to the Almighty about something. And we want to all read together in Exodus chapter 3. Let's go up to Exodus chapter 3, and we'll pick up verse number 9. We read down to 9 to 13 there, Moses. Let's see what we can read in the book of Exodus chapter 3. And we can pick up a verse.
Yeah.
Pick up a verse. Yeah, we'll pick up it. We're going to Exodus 3, verse number 9. Let's see what's going on here in 3, verse number 9.
Exodus chapter 3, verse 9.
Hold on, mother. Let's make a little meal out of it. We got plenty of time. Let's make a little meal out of it. Because we see now we're not going to be able to get what we want to get on tonight. We'll get on in Wednesday. But we're going to Exodus chapter 3, and we'll pick up verse 6.
Okay. Exodus chapter 3, 6 to 13.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Now, I'll tell you what. Just give me Exodus 3, and just take it down to verse 9. And we'll let the young lion get in there and stretch out a little bit. Let's go to chapter 3. Let's look at 6 down to verse 9. What it says,
okay.
6 down to verse 9.
Exodus chapter 3, verses 6 to 9. the sea. Moreover, he said, I am the Yahweh of your father, the Yahweh of Abraham, the Yahweh of Isaac, and the Yahweh of Jacob, Israel. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look on Yahweh, up on Yahweh. Verse 7. And the Yahweh said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmaster. For I knew their sorrow. Verse 8. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land into a good land, and a large unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites. The Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Havites and the Jebusites. Verse 9. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them.
So he said, I've seen what they own. Children of Israel, they're in bad state. Now at this time, the Egyptians, descendants of Ham, the children of Israel, the descendants, it got nothing to do with black and white, all these peoples of color. All of them was of color. So it ain't got nothing to do with the black and white thing. It got something to do with the election of the Almighty. The Almighty people call the children of Israelites. That's his people. The world is hiding that from you today. That's why they call you many names other than your biblical names. If you're not the children of Israelites, then who are you? There's no record of you in the Bible as a certain color. There's no record of that, or color. There's no record of that. So who are you with the Bible open? See? So that's what you ask the scholars that tell you that you all the other names of the propaganda. Hey, if I'm not an Israelite of the Bible, then who biblically wise? They stuck. They can't go nowhere with that because you got to be somebody, and they got to be somebody. That's why it's time for you to wake up, especially you six anointed camps, the boss of the other two Israelites. It's time to teach the Bible. Your people's in bad shape. They're watching that God saying for answers, and the answer is in the pages of the book. Just got to be in the right ministry. That's all. Come on. Good. Now, we got it out the way. Now, young lion, so he said, now, I see the problem that y'all going through. He said, now, I come down to deliver you. Now, Brother Titus, pick up at verse 10, and we'll read down to verse number 13. Listen real good, but put a little more bass in your voice, and put a little more bass in your voice there, young lion, and bring it down just a little bit, because you own something, and we'll pick up verse 13, what it say?
The book Exodus, chapter 3, verse 10 down to 13. Exodus chapter 3, verse 10. Come now, therefore, and I will send you unto Pharaoh, that you may bring forth my people, the children of Israel, the Israelites, out of the land of bondage, Mizraim. Verse 11. And Moses said unto Yahweh, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel, the Israelites, out of the land of bondage, Mizraim. Verse 12. And he said, certainly, I will be with you. And this shall be a token unto you that I have sent you. Where you have brought forth the children, brought forth the people out of the land of bondage, Mizraim. You shall serve Yahuwah upon this mountain. Verse 13. And Moses said unto Yahuwah, behold, I will come unto the children of Israel, the Israelites, and say unto them, the Yahuwah of your father has sent me unto you. And that they should say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them?
Now, right there. So now it's a code. For the Almighty to recognize you, you must know his name. Now, at the time that this conversation was going on, it was no such thing as English. English started in 449 A.D. It was official language in 1382. It was no English. And when Moses was talking to the Almighty, they spoke the Semitic language, what they call now Hebrew. And out of Hebrew come Aramaic and all other languages. So the language that Moses asked him, what is your name? It was in the original tongue called the Semitic. The Semitic has 22 alphabets, no vowels.
Mm-hmm.
There's no vowels. Vowel point did not come until the 6th century. The Bible was closed in 96 A.D. So it was no such thing as the name that we use today. It's like somebody call you out there in the middle of the winter on the expressway and say, and call you by another name. Say, I'm stuck out here on the expressway, call you Willie Pete. He said, well, I'm sorry to hear you, but my name is not Willie Pete. And that's what's going on today. We don't know his name, and we call on a name that the Bible do not support. It was no such thing English to 449 A.D. Then you think about English.
Mm-hmm.
All the manuscripts was closed. And the only name they called on from Adam to the closing of John was four letters. Y-H-W-H. That's it. Every other name was added on after that. You got that point? And long as you're not calling on his name, it's just like somebody calling you to help them by calling you, but the wrong name. I'm sorry for you, but I'm not that person you calling. And that same thing going on with us as a people today. We have lost our way.
Mm-hmm.
It's now time for you to gain your way. Now, I want to play a little bit from this answer machine on the message that somebody else left message. But we keep telling you, don't call the teachers, leave your message. I'm going to play a little bit of it, and then we'll get back to what we are. Because one thing about it, the cat is out the bag now. The cat is out the bag. It's up for us to understand something. We've been taught wrong. It's time now to help ourselves, to help our loved ones that are coming behind us. Don't worry about yourself. See if you're able to help somebody else. We're just going to play a little bit from the machine, and you just listen for yourself and see what it says.
White man, okay, and the Jewish...
Let's see, can we play a little bit of something? We got so many messages come in daily, but we want to hear what they says about something. And listen real good to what they say, because remember, they commune among themselves. Let's see, can we get it?
He is Yahuwah, that is his name, that has been mentioned in the world forever. He is Yahuwah, that is his name, that has been mentioned from world forever. He is Yahuwah, that is his name, that has been mentioned from world forever. He is Yahuwah, that is his name, that has been mentioned from world forever. He is Yahuwah, that is his name, that has been mentioned from world forever. And again, when you look in the scriptures, you'll see in your English versions, YHWH, those four letters represent the consonants of Yod, Hey, Wal, Hey. You even kind of hear that. The Yod starts with a Y, the Hey starts with a H, the Wal starts with a W, and the final Hey starts with, again, the H sound. In English, so YHWH, or as some people say, YHVH, However, again, this is the revelation of the four-letter name. It is often said to be Shem HaMifarash, and that means the name which is distinctly pronounced. However, most use that term Shem HaMifarash to mean the name which is not to be spoken. It's not exactly what it means. The name surely was spoken. All the prophets knew the name. In fact, most of the prophets are even named after the creator of the universe. I'm sure you've heard of the great prophet Elijah. His name is Eliyahu, which means my El, that's what Eli means. Yahu refers to Yahuwah. And this is well known. All you have to do is look in your Strong's Concordance or look in whatever study tools you're using to study the Hebrew Scriptures, or if you can read Hebrew, you go and find Eliyahu's name, you see it right there. But is he the only one? No, not even close. Jeremiah is named Yeremiyahu. You know, Zedekiah is named Zedekiyahu. Hezekiah is known as Hezekiyahu. This happens on many of the prophets' names, I would say even most of the prophets' names, such as Isaiah, his name is Yeshayahu. The Messiah, the one that has been called Jesus incorrectly today, this name Jesus comes from a Latinized form of Yeshua, which is not even the full name. When you go and look at the etymology, you'll see that the full and proper name of the Messiah of Israel is actually Yahushua, Yod Heh Waw Shin Waw Ayin, which means that he is Yahuwah's salvation. And this is a very beautiful picture. We also want to go over to another familiar piece of passage to explain a little further why this name is of such importance. We all know these passages. I'm not trying to use anything too difficult in this study because I want people to understand. So in Joel chapter 2, and we go to verse 32, we read, "And it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of Yahuwah shall be saved. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be escape, as Yahuwah has said, and amongst the survivors whom Yahuwah calls." We all know this passage, except we've probably heard it with the Lord. All who call upon the Lord shall be saved. However, that's not what the passage states. It states all who call upon Yahuwah shall be saved. And again, this is so important for us to understand, because we are living in the last days, and this revelation of the Creator's name is going forth. What used to be held for just studies amongst rabbis and learned theologians and various teachers and doctors is now being proclaimed even to lay people. And this is critical, because Yahuwah is expanding the awareness of his great and awesome memorial name. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 16, we read, "Then shall those who fear YHWH, Yahuwah, shall speak to one another, and Yahuwah will listen and hear, and a book of remembrance be written before him of those who fear Yahuwah and those who think upon his name." Wouldn't you want to be in this book of remembrance? This is the book of life, after all. And if you believe in the Messiah, the one that I said is, his name is Yahushua, he taught us how to pray. And you probably remember this. In your King James Version, it says, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." In the Hebrew, however, it is Abinu Shabbat Shemayim Yikadesh Shemka, which means our Abba, our Father, who is in the Shemayim, the heavens, Kodesh, or set apart and sanctified, is your name. The Messiah said he did all of his works in his Father's name. He healed the blind in the Father's name. He did all these things. And we read in the book of Revelation that the 144,000 in the book of Revelation that are sealed, what are they sealed with? The Father's name in their forehead. This
book by a Jewish...
Well, that's good enough. We'll pray a little bit more all the time. Because one thing about it, the scholars from the WCC, World Council of Churches, the Latter-day Saints, the Roman Catholic Church, Big Timothy Dolan out of New York, they can't have no more. So we're telling the children of the book, it's time for you to wake up and understand one thing. You've been taught wrong, and it's time to correct it. If you don't correct it for yourself, at least learn it to help your offspring. You've been taught wrong. You don't know the proper meaning of December 25th. You don't know the proper meaning. Like a lot of people say, well, I'm celebrating December 25th because it's his birthday. And last night lesson, we took care of that part, showing you that's not true. In last night lesson, you go and you can put in YHWH Radio Live and put up tape number 34, this tape will be 35 right here. But the last two tapes, and you will hear the breakdown showing you soundly that it's no way possible that he could have been born around December 25th from last night's lesson. And we're going to do a little recap on it right now, a little recap, and then Wednesday we'll take care of more because there's no fasting tomorrow. So we're going to do a little recap to make you understand something. The reason why we're in trouble now, because we ignore what the Bible has said, and we have not been taught right. It's time now to let the Bible tell you the truth. Now, we're gonna come back, Brother Titus. We're going to come back in Luke chapter 2, and we'll look at verse 4 down to verse 12. Now, take notes again. We're just going to recap a little bit of last night to get this, for you to be clear about it. So if you don't want to help yourself, help the ones that you come in contact with. Because the reason why we're in trouble today as a people, because we don't know who we are. We think we black as a color, African-American, Negro in color, and super cool. But that's not who we are according to the Bible. Keep that in your mind. So now we're going to recap a little bit from last night and see what it says in Luke chapter 2, verse 4 down to verse 12. And mother, have me verse 40 to 42 waiting on me, mother E. Israel. But Brother Titus is going to look at Luke 2, verse 4 down to verse 12. Take notes for your loved ones. Come on.
The book of Luke, chapter 2, verse 4 to 12. Luke chapter 2, verse 4 reads, and Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, unto the land of Yahdah, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the family and lineage of David. Verse 5, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. Verse 6.
Hold that point. Yeah, hold that point. Now, read the way you see it there, young lad, because it's a point. I want this international side over 700,000 strong to understand. Joseph brought Mary, his wife, was great with child, up to their homeland called Judah, what they call Jerusalem. So to be, but she was great with child. She was carrying a baby in her womb. Now, she's carrying a baby in her womb now, and it was Joseph and Mary. Okay, good. Joseph and Mary. But it's a point I want to bring out about Mary. Something I want to bring out about Mary. So hold that point right there. I want to bring out a point about Mary. Joseph and Mary. We found out that Joseph was from the lineage of David. But what about Mary? But what about Mary? See that? There you go. What about Mary? Let's find out something about Mary. And help me out, mother. Hold what you got, mother. Let's see if you can find something about Mary. Let's go to Luke chapter 1, verse 5. Let's find something about Mary. Luke chapter 1, verse 5. What did it say there, mother? Mother E? Luke 1, 5.
Luke chapter 1, verse 5. Luke chapter 1, yes. Verse 5. Luke chapter 1, verse 5. There was in the day of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zechariah of the court of Abi, and his wife was of, and his wife was of the daughter of Aaron. And her name was Elizabeth.
Okay, good. So now we got Elizabeth and Zechariah. They is a team of wife and husband. Skip down to verse 35 and 36. And 35 and 36.
Okay, verse 35 and verse 36. Verse 35 reads, and the angel ministering spirit answered and said unto her, the righteous spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the high shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that righteous thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of Yahweh. Verse 36. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she had also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren.
Oh, okay. So we found out Elizabeth was of the tribe of Levi, the Aaron priesthood, and Zachariah. So that means that biblically, you only married those of your tribe. And we found out Elizabeth and Mary was cousins.
Right.
Good. So now when we find out that Joseph was from the lineage of David, what that make Mary? What that make Mary? See that? So that make Mary must be the same tribe, because you only in biblical times, even to this day, what? Put a number 36 to find what the law is. What is the law? You got to know these things. Come on, Brother Tyson, mm-hmm. going to the law. Numbers 36, 3 down to verse 15. Listen good at the law. The children of Israel, remember we read an article pertaining to the New York Knicks basketball team. They said, why do the New York Knicks basketball players got wives of another nation?
Mm-hmm.
They got of them on the front page. And the majority of the team got a wife that looked like somebody else. And some mm-hmm. of the white ball players got a wife that looked like somebody else, too. So you wonder why they got all the millions of dollars, but why do they do such a thing? Let's find out, is that biblically or is that contrary to biblically? We go on to Numbers 36, verse 3 down to verse 15. What it say? What it say there, Brother Titus?
The book of Numbers, chapter 36, verse 3 down to, what's the last verse?
15.
It only goes up to verse 13.
Just start. Numbers 36, start at verse 3 for reading.
Numbers chapter 36, verse 3. If they be married to any of the sons of the other tribe of the children of Israel, then should their inheritance be taken from the heritage of our fathers and should be put into the heritage of the...
Hold on, young lion. You slow it down a little bit and take your time. We're doing this to edify the 700,000 on the international side. So don't be in no bigger hurry to get this verse in, Numbers 36, verse 3. We're trying to edify them. We know you already know, but they need to know this in verse 3. Read it.
Numbers chapter 36, verse 3 reads, and if they be married to any of the sons of the other tribe of the children of Israel, then should their inheritance be taken from the inheritance of our fathers, and should be put to the inheritance of the tribes whereunto they are received. So should be taken from the lot of our inheritance. Verse 4. And when the jubilee of the children of Israel shall be, then should their inheritance be put into the inheritance of the tribe whereunto they are received. So should their inheritance be taken away with the inheritance of the tribe of our fathers. Verse 5. And Moses commanded the children of Israel, the Israelites, according to the word of Yahweh, saying, the tribes of the son of Joseph have said when. Verse 6. This is the thing which Yahweh do command concerning the daughters of Zelophehad, saying, let them marry to whom they think best, only to the family of the tribe of their father shall they marry. Verse 7. So should not the heritage of the children of Israel remove from tribe to tribe to every one of the children of Israel shall keep himself to the heritage of the tribe of his father. Verse 8. And every daughter that possessed an inheritance in any tribe of the children of Israel shall be wife unto one of the family of the tribe of her father, that the children of Israel may enjoy every man the inheritance of his father. Verse 9. Neither shall the inheritance remove from one tribe to another tribe, for every one of the tribes of the children of Israel shall keep himself to his own inheritance. Verse 10. Even as Yahweh commanded Moses, so did the daughters of Zelophehad. Verse 11. From Matlah, Sarzah, and Haglah, and Melkah, and Noah, the daughters of Zelophehad, were married unto their father's brother's son. Verse 12. So they married to the families of the sons of Manasseh, the son of Joseph. Her heritage remained in the tribe of the family of their father. Verse 13. These are the commandments and judgments which Yahweh commanded by the hand of Moses unto the children of Israel, the Israelites, in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho.
Mm-hmm. So biblically wise, you just can't jump up and marry someone that's not in your tribe. You must marry according to the tribe. People don't even know where we from. It ain't no such thing as no African American Negro tribes. So by you not knowing who you are biblically, you gonna continue to make the same mistakes and always gonna cause you trouble by not knowing who you are biblically, by thinking you just a Christian. Christian is not a nationality. Being Islam is not a nationality. Judaism is not a nationality. The Bible is your roadmap. We follow the Bible, we was blessed. When we got tricked out of who we really are, that's why we got the trouble today. That's why we jump up and marry the one that sound good or in a higher position in life. We just marry somebody based upon our feelings. But it never be biblically, and it's always going to come up wrong according to the Bible. Now let's run back to Jubilees chapter 22 and find out where that came from, young man. We're going to Jubilees chapter 22 and pick up verse 16. Now where did this information come from? We love to talk about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, whose name was changed of Israel. But watch where this information came from, and once you know who you are, pass this information on to your loved ones. The greatest legacy and that you can leave your family is the truth of the Bible. But you got to hear the truth. We're going to Jubilees 22, verse 16. Let's read a little bit. We get our point. Jubilees
2, figure
verse 16, let's read a little bit. Come on.
The book of Jubilee, chapter 22, verse 16 reads, and do you, my son, Israel, and do you, my son, Jacob, remember my words and observe the commandments of Abraham, your father. Separate yourself from the nation. Eat not with them. And do not according to their work, and become not their associate. For that works are unclean, and all their ways are a pollution and an abomination and uncleanness. Verse 17 reads, they offer their sacrifice to the dead, and they worship evil spirits. They eat over the grave, and all their works are vanity and nothingness. Verse 18, they have no mind to understand, and their eyes do not see what their works are. And how they err in saying to a piece of wood, you are my Yahuwah. And to a stone, you are my Yahuwah. And you are my deliverer. And they have no mind. Verse 19. And as for you, my son, Israel, may the Most High Yahuwah help you. And Yahuwah of heaven bless you. And remove you from their uncleanness. From all their errors. Verse 20. Be you aware, my son Israel, of taking a wife from any seed of the daughter of Cain. For all his seed is to be rooted out of the earth. Verse 21. For on the sin of Ham, Cain and Aaron, and all his seed should be destroyed from off the earth, from all the residue thereof. And thus spring from him to be set.
That's good right there. So now we clear that now Joseph had to have a wife that was of the same lineage because that was the law. So we clear that Joseph married the tribe of Judah just like her cousin Elizabeth married the tribe of Levites. Two Levites produced Moses, so on and so on. So we got that understanding. Now let's go back. So let's go back. Now we understand that we cleared that Mary and Joseph was on the same page. Now what you leave off on in Luke chapter 4, what you leave off on? Let you go.
I'm at Luke chapter 2.
Yeah, Luke chapter 2. How far did you go from 4 down to what? Where you stop up on?
I'm at verse 6 now.
Okay, 6. 6 down to verse 12. Come on.
The book of Luke chapter 2, verse 6 down to 12. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. Verse 7. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a mansion because there was no room for them in the inn. Verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Verse 9, and lo, the ministering spirit of Yahuwah came upon them, and the greatness of Yahuwah shone round about them, and they were so afraid. Verse 10, and the ministering spirit said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Verse 11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Yahuwah the Son, Yahuwah. Verse 12. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in the mansion.
In a manger. Yes, that's where you're going to find him at. He'll be in a manger in swaddling clothes. And according to prophecy, where will he be laying at in the Songs of Solomon chapter 8, verse 4 and 5 there, young man? Now, where would he be laying in swaddling clothes, manger, where? According to Songs of Solomon chapter 8, verse 4 and 5. Where would he be at, young man?
Songs of Solomon chapter 8, verse 4 and 5. Song of Solomon, chapter 8, verse 4. I charge you, O daughters of Yada, Judah, that you stir not up nor awake my love until he please. Verse 5. Who is this that coming up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? I raise you up under the apple tree where your mother brought you forth, where she brought you forth that bears you.
Mm-hmm. So you found him wrapped in a manger and swaddled clothes up on an apple tree. Mother Z, call over there and look on your phone and ask what the temperature is over there in Jerusalem right now. Now come on back, Mother E, in Luke chapter 2, verse 42. You need to find what's the temperature over there in Jerusalem right now. What is their temperature to be wrapped up in a manger up on an apple tree? And let's find out what the temperature is over there in Jerusalem. But come on, Mother E, let's see what we got in Luke chapter 2, verse 40 to 42.
Luke chapter 2, verse 40 to 42. Luke chapter 2, verse 40. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of Yahweh was upon him. 41. Then his parents went to Jerusalem, Dr. Judah, every year at the feast of the Passover. 42. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem. After they went up to Jerusalem, Yahdai Judah, after the custom of the feast.
So around Passover, so his birthday is around Passover, Mother. So around Passover, he was how old, Mother?
12 years old.
So, when is his birthday? Is his birthday around December 21st, December 25th, or is it around Passover?
Around Passover.
It's around Passover. It's around. So you ain't a mother Z. What's the weather is over there in Jerusalem right now?
Just a second.
Yeah, what's the weather is over there? By the time you find that, come on, mother Z, give me 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 and 8. And Brother Titus, have me the 11th chapter, verse 23. Down to verse 26 in the book of Corinthians. Let's find out something. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, 7 and 8. See what it say.
Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 and verse 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 and verse 8. Verse 7, first out, therefore, the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. For at even Yahweh the Son, our Passover is sacrificed for us. Verse 8, therefore, let us keep the feast not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth.
Mm. So Yahweh the Son is our what, Mother?
Our Passover.
He's our Passover. Come on, young lion. What it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 down to verse 26.
1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 to 26. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. For I received of Yahweh that which also I deliver unto you, that Yahweh the Son came not in which he was betrayed, took bread. Verse 24. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take this, This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Verse 25. After the same manner also, he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Verse 26. For as often ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do so Yahweh's death until he comes.
So, what do out of the mouth of Paul, what he want us to remember? His birthday or his death till he comes? What do the Almighty, according to Paul, for us to remember? Young Lion, what do you want us to remember?
Yahweh's death until he comes.
Death. And when was his death? When was his death? When was his death? Mother just got through reading in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7 and 8. When was his death?
Around Passover.
Around Passover. So what he wants you to remember is, because see what they're going to say to you, we know that we're not doing the Christmas thing. We just remember his birth. His birthday is around December 25th. That's what we celebrate, his birthday. It's bringing our Lord God in the world on December 25th. No, he wasn't born nowhere near no December 25th. And he said nothing about remembering his birthday. Around, he wants you to remember his death. And that's around Passover time. Passover. So he ain't telling you nothing about celebrating no birthday that he got. He ain't told you nothing about nobody's birthday or not his birthday, because he told you, remember, total opposite was his death. And his death, he was the Passover lamb. See that? We not even doing wrong right. We celebrating this. Well, reading, I'm celebrating this. I'm not celebrating the Christmas part of it. I'm just celebrating he was born December 25th. He ain't told you about celebrating his birthday, period. He told you remember his death till he comes. So you see how we've been duped. So there it is right there. Now, Mother Eve, what is the temperature over there in Jerusalem? Can you up those see out? What's the temperature over there in Jerusalem just before December 25th? What that weather is, Mother Z, Israel, see, right?
What is the temperature degrees? Just a minute. What is the temperature degrees over in Jerusalem right now?
It's 51 degrees in Jerusalem right now.
You hear that, Tia? They said 51 degrees. They said 51 degrees.
Yeah. Okay, early. 51 degrees. Yesterday was 12, the day was 51. Would any mother have a son, a baby out there up on the tree and at 51 degrees? Who would do that? Who would do that? Who will be out there laying in a manger, and if it's even 51 degrees, who will be out there doing that with a newborn baby?
Nobody.
Huh? That's
nobody.
Right.
Nobody.
Yes, 12 degrees. Today is 51 degrees over there. So who going to be up on a, and ain't no apples growing in 51 degree weather or 12 degree weather. Ain't no apples growing. Every apple, the tree is there, but the apple's going to went on back up into that vine somewhere and hiding out until around Passover. Then he'll start blossoming them back. It ain't no apple trees over there right now because it's too cold. That's what's going on. All right. The mother with a loud voice, Mother Z, Israel, tribe of Yah, God, Judah, Israel. The clock is on yours, so what you Tell this national ordinance is all your and Mother Z Israel. Come on.
Are you going to? I'm just going to read some in Daniel, the 8th chapter. Give me a second. 1 second. Daniel chapter 9. I'm not going to try to read the whole chapter because it's a long chapter, so I'm just going to skip down and read some of it. I'm going to start reading at verse 23, Daniel chapter 9, verse 23. That at the beginning of the supplication, the Torah instruction came forth, and I am come to show you for thus thou art greatly beloved therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. Verse 24. Seventy weeks are desolate upon the people. And 70 weeks are determined upon the people and upon the righteous city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sin and to make reconciliation of iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to set up the vision and to set up the
vision
and prophesied and to acknowledge the Most High.
Anoint.
Pardon me?
Yeah. Anoint.
To anoint the Most High, the Most Righteous.
Right.
Verse 25. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandments to restore and to build Yahdah Judah unto the the prison shall be 7 weeks. Okay, prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the walls even in tribulation, in
troubled time.
Verse 26, and after 62 weeks, Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the princes that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the wall desolate are determined. Verse 27. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall call the sacrifice. And the oblation to cease, and for the overspread abomination, he shall make it desolate even until the
confirmation,
and that determined shall be pulled upon the desolation. Hallelujah.
All right there, mother. That's all right. We got the message, no doubt about it. Now, Mother E, now we go on and look at, remember they say, well, you know, I just celebrate December 25th because that's our Lord Savior, that's his birthday. Let's find out the origin about this thing, Mother. We're going to 1 Maccabees. Let's see, can that hold up when you put some book on them. We're going to Maccabees chapter 1, pick up verse 41. And we'll read down to verse number 47. And Young Lion, pick it up at verse number 48 down to 59. 48 to 59, Young Lion. Come on there, Mother E. Let's see what it says in 1 Maccabees chapter 1, verse 41 to 47. Come on.
1 Maccabees chapter 1, verse 41 to 47. Verse 41 reads, moreover, King Antioch wrote to his whole kingdom that all should be one people. 42. And everyone should leave his law. So all the nations agreed according to the commandment of the king. 43. Yea, many also of the Israelites consent to get to his religion and sacrifice unto Allah and profane the Sabbath. Verse 44. For the king had sent letters by messengers unto Jotham Judah and the city of Judah.
In the same verse it says that they shall follow the strange laws of the land. I'm 45. 45.
Okay.
Verse 45.
Verse 45. And follow the bid. Burnt offerings and sacrifice and drink offerings in the temple, and that they should profane the Sabbath and feast days, festive days. 46. And pollute the sanctuary and the righteous people. 47.
Mm-hmm.
Set up altars and groves and chambers of idols and sacrifice wine, blood, and unclean beasts. and unclean feet.
They say put up chapels and put pigs on the altar and do everything. They were really doing something. And let's find out a little bit more in verse 48 there, young lion, take on verse 59.
Yes, sir. First Maccabees chapter 1, verse 48 to 59. First Maccabees chapter 1, verse 48. That they should also leave their children uncircumcised and make their souls abominable with all matter of uncleanness and profanation. Verse 49. And to the end, they might forget the law, Torah instructions, and change all the ordinance. Verse 50. And whosoever would not do according to the commandment of the king, he said he should die. Verse 51. In the selfsame matter, wrote he in his whole kingdom and appointed overseers over all the people, commanded the cities of Judah to sacrifice city by city. Verse 52. Then many of the people were gathered unto them, to wit, everyone that forsook the law, Torah instructions, and so they committed evils in the land. Verse 53. And drove the Israelites, Yada Judah, in secret places, even wheresoever they should flee. They could flee for succor. Verse 54. Now, the 15th day of the month, Kazu, December, in the 145th year, they set up the abomination of desolation upon the altar and built idol altars throughout the cities of Judah on every side. Verse 55, and burnt incense at the doors of their houses and in the streets. Verse 56, and when they had written in peace the books of the law, which they found, they burnt them with fire. Verse 57. And whatsoever was found with any of the book of the covenant, or of any considered to the law, Torah instruction, the king commanded was that they should be put to death. They should put him to death. Verse 58. Thus did they, by their authority, until the Israelites, tribe of Yahdadud, every month, to as many as were found in the cities. Verse 59. Now the 5th and 20th day of the month, they sacrificed upon the idol altar, which was upon the altar of Yahuwah.
So they done a sacrificing on the 5th and 20th day of the month. Of what month in verse 4? What month all this was going on? So they got it all prepared in verse 54. When they start this thing in 54, that young lion?
Verse Maccabees, chapter 1, verse 54. Now on the 15th day of the month, December.
In what year? 15th day of the month in 145th year, they set up abomination of desolation. So they set up the abomination of desolation. Then, and they got it going real good. When in verse 59?
Verse 59. Now when the 5th and 20th day of the month, December, they did sacrifice upon the idol altar, which was upon the altar of Yahuwah.
So they had the thing full blast going December the 25th. December 25th, they had it going real good. They took over around about the 15th, and about the 25th, they had it going real good, the desolation. So December 25th is when they started this thing, in December 25th. Now, let's find out what happened They been now in the 15th day of the month, 145th year. So 145 BC when it started. Now we're going to the fourth chapter, mother. We're going to the fourth chapter and see what he says in verse 54. 454. What is it saying? 454?
Let's
make this up. Yes, read a little bit. 454, let's read a little bit. What happened in 454?
First Maccabees chapter 4, verse 54. Verse 54 reads, look at what time and what day the nation had proclaimed it, even in that was it defied. Dedicated.
Okay. Mm-hmm. They done what? They dedicated. Yeah, they said look
dedicated.
Back. They profaned it. Even the time is dedication with songs. Go ahead. Songs.
With songs and cisterns and harps and cymbals.
So they want you to look back and remember the dedication. Now they don't tuck back over it, Mom. They don't tuck back over it. And when did they start it? December 25th. So they tell you to remind your loved ones to look back on the day they tuck it over, December the 25th. They tuck over our temple and start offering us pig on December the 25th. And they had us in derision. Let's read a couple more verses. And 55 says what?
Verse 55. Then all the people fell upon their face, worshiping and praising the Yahweh of heaven, who had gave them good success. Verse 56. And so they kept the dedication of the altar 8 days. And offered burnt offering with gladness and sacrifice the sacrifice of deliverance and praise.
Uh-huh. Come on there, young mind. Young mind, 57 down to 61. Listen to this, 57 to 61. Come on, young mind. Come on, young mind. 57.
57. First Maccabees, chapter 4, verse 57. They jacked also the first front of the temple with crowns of gold and with shields, and the gate of the chamber they renewed, and hanged doors upon them. Verse 58. Thus was there very great gladness among the people for the reproach of the heathen nation of Esau and his five sons, Amalek, was put away.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 59. Moreover, Judas and his brethren and the whole congregation of Israel ordained that the day of the dedication of the altar should be kept in their season from year to year by the space of 8 days from the 5th and 20th day of the month, December, with mirth and gladness. Verse 6. And that time also they built up the Mount Yada Judah with high walls and strong towers round about, lest the nation of Esau and his five sons, Amalek, should come and tear it down as they had done before. Verse 61.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 61. And they set there a garrison to keep it and fortified Bethsura to preserve it, that the people might have a defense against Esau and his five sons. Amalek.
Mm-hmm.
Through the word of Jonah.
And in verse 5, verse 3, what happened? What is this December 25th is all about? The true meaning of December 25th, what it's about? In 5, verse 3.
First Maccabees, chapter 5, verse 3. And Judah fought against the children of Esau and his five sons. And the land of Esau at Ammonite, because they besieged Israel, Yahdah Judah, and have gave them to a great overthrow, and abate their courage, and took their spoil.
A great overthrow.
Great overthrow.
Oh, so December 25th is a celebration of what again, young man?
A great overthrow.
So that's why we celebrate December 25th. Nothing to do with his birthday. Hey, mother, back up to Maccabees chapter 4, verse 25. First Maccabees 4, 25, mother. See, the reason why we celebrate December 25th, what reason again, young lion?
A great overthrow.
A great overthrow. That's the reason why we celebrate December 25th of the great overthrow. But that's the reason we celebrate for 8 days of the great overthrow. Read that, mother. 4:25 says what?
First Maccabees chapter 4, verse 25. Thus Israel had a great deliverance that day.
Oh, so what? Hey, Mother E, what is the reason why we celebrate December 25th according to 4:25? What is the reason why we celebrate it, Father?
Because Israel had a great deliverance.
Yeah, but what he says in verse 25? 4:25. What did it say?
Thus Israel had a great deliverance that day. A great deliverance that day.
So the reason why we celebrate December 25th, what reason, Mother?
We celebrate December 25th because Israel. Israel had a great deliverance that day.
So the reason we celebrate 25th is because Israel, the Israelites, had a great deliverance. So now, Mother, now let's run and get a closing statement. Let's go to St. John, and you tell me what's going on in verse 22 and 23. You tell old Seer what's going on once you read St. John 10, 22 and 23. You tell this national audience what's going on. What is Yahweh the Son doing in St. John 10, 22 and 23? And a closing statement. Come on.
Okay. St. John chapter 10, verse 22 and verse 23. St. John chapter 10, verse 22. And it was at Werner, the feast of dedication, and it was Werner. Oh, wait a minute. And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of dedication, and it was Werner. Verse 23. And Yahweh the Son walked in the temple of Solomon's porch.
No, it was his birthday. It was his birthday in Luna. Was that his birthday, Mother? Because they're going to tell you now, we celebrate because that's his birthday. See? So now we're going to find out that they've been found to be a liar, ain't it? It was winter.
Right.
The dedication was in winter.
In the winter.
And he's not coming down to celebrate his birthday on December 25th. What is he coming to celebrate there, Mother? according to verse 22 and 23, what is he coming to celebrate on December 25th?
He came to celebrate dedication. He came to celebrate
the dedication and the what? And the great deliverance of throwing Esau and his five sons, kicking them in the rear. That's what December 25th was all about. The great overthrow of the children of Esau and his five sons is supposed to be a celebration of the children of Israel, not buying presents, not talking about a baby in a manger. It is the overthrow, the dedication of the 25th, which started on the 24th when the sun set. The dedication of taking down Esau and all his company for December, it's all about. It got nothing to do with no baby in the manger that was in the manger on Passover time. It got nothing to do with no winter. You see that, mother? They didn't find liars, mother. So we gotta take it to them. Closing statements, catch your winds tonight, you on the clock, mother, come on.
Oh, thanking and praising Yahweh for the class. Thanking and praising Yahweh for the seer. And thanking and praising Yahweh for everyone that's listening. Thanking and praising Yahweh for them. And I said to the class, the listeners, don't give up. Hold on. Thank you, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah. So now we clear that December 25th have nothing to do with no baby in a manger.
Right.
Up under no tree of no apple, because he was up on an apple tree around Passover. That's his birth. So the reason why we celebrate December 25th, we clear. Now, and do it. Chapter 10, can you help me out there? But Titus, what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 10, 12 through 15.
Book of Deuteronomy, chapter 10, verse 12 to 15. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12 reads, "And now, Israel, will do Yahweh, your Yahweh, required of you, but to fear Yahweh, your Yahweh, and to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve Yahweh, your Yahweh, with all your might, and with all your soul, strength." Verse 13. "To keep the commandments, Torah instruction of Yahweh, and his statutes, which I command you this day, for your good." Verse 14. "Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is Yahweh, your Yahweh, the earth also, with all that there is." Verse 15, mm-hmm. only Yahweh have a delight in your fathers to love them, and he chose their seed after them, even you above all people, as it is this day."
You see that? Let's go to Issachar boy Job at 28:28 there, young lion. So you see, what Yahweh wants you to do is love him. Why don't you do what the Bible's saying? The reason why we celebrate December 25th, we celebrate because that was the great overthrow sinners of Esau out of your business, and that's what you celebrated with wine and good green food. Job 28:28 says what?
The book of Job, chapter 28, verse 28, reads, "And unto man, he said, behold, the fear of Yahweh, that is wisdom, and to part from evil is understanding."
Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 19, verse 6 through 10, the closing statement, young lion, excellent. Excellent, Mother E, Mother Z. elders, everybody, excellent. Tape number 34. Wisdom of Solomon 19:6 down to verse 10, the closing statement. So that's the reason we celebrate December 25th. It ain't got nothing to do with no Christmas or no card giving. It's the great overthrow of the children of Israel on Esau. Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 19:6-10, the closing statement there. Young lion, come on.
The book of Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 19, verse 6-10. For the whole creature and its cross of kind was fashioned again anew, serving the everlasting Torah instruction that were given unto them, and your children might be kept without hurt. Verse 7. As namely a cloud shadow of the camp, and where water stood before dry land appeared, and out of the reed sea a way without impediment, and out of the violent stream a green field. Verse 8, wherethrough all the people went that were defended with your hand, seeing your marvelous strange wonders. Verse 9, for they went at large like horses and leaped like lambs, praising you, O Yahweh, who has delivered them. Verse 10, for they were yet mindful of the things that were done while they sojourned in a strange land, how the ground brought forth flies instead of cattle, and how the river cast upon the multitude of frogs instead of fishes.
Read verse 6 again and close 7-8 young line. Read verse 6 again, 19:6.
Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 19, verse 6. For the whole creature and his prosper kind was fashioned again, anew, serving the everlasting commandment, Torah instruction, that was given unto them.
Exactly right. The everlasting commandment was given to us to keep it the way the Bible said. Catch everybody Wednesday night. Your line is all on you. Take your time, quote statement. Catch you all Wednesday, 6 o'clock. Come on.
First Maccabees, chapter 3, verse 21-22. But we fight for our lives and our laws. Verse 22. Wherefore, Yahweh himself will overthrow them, Esau and his five sons' descendants, Amalek, before our face. As for you, be you not afraid of them. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh.